wolves, and sheepdogs. Sheep, wolves, and sheepdogs. Amen. You know, you hear me say at times that there are comfortable teachings of Yeshua, and then there are difficult teachings of Yeshua. Comfortable teachings, ones we like, ones we've heard before, and then there are teachings of Yeshua that, frankly, we just ignore. They're difficult to understand, or we're afraid that we do understand them and don't want to talk about it. They're things that, like, how on earth would you ever preach that? And yet they're messages that Yeshua shared. In John chapter 10, very familiar passage, beginning at verse 7, therefore Yeshua said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Now, that picture there, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And he says earlier in John chapter 10, as a good shepherd, I know my sheep. I know them by name. I lead them out, and the sheep follow me because they know my voice. That's a whole message. I'm sure I preached that at least 10 times in the last 5 years. But a great message. We're comfortable with that. We like that. The picture of Yeshua the shepherd coming up and calling us by name. He knows us individually. And then he leads us out, and we know he's leading us into what? He's leading us into green pastures. And we follow him because we know his voice. That's a comfortable teaching of Yeshua. But now I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to put our teeth today into a difficult saying of Yeshua. More difficult than the other one, amen. Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 16. Again, it's a sheep passage. Except this time, Yeshua says, as he's going to send his leaders out, this is not people, just the people, this is the leaders, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils, flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what you're going to say and how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be in fear of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And then he goes on with his teaching about that. Now, I want to read that to you out of the Message Bible. So listen to this one. I think this is really clear. These are instructions if you intend to be a leader in the end times church, if you intend to be used by Yeshua in the battle ahead of us. Listen to this one. Stay alert. This is hazardous work I'm assigning you. You're going to be like sheep running through a wolf pack. So don't call attention to yourselves. Be as cunning as a snake and as inoffensive as a dove. Don't be naive. Some people will impugn your motives. Others will smear your reputation just because you believe in me. Don't be upset when they haul you before the civil authorities. Without knowing it, they've done you and me a favor, giving you a platform for preaching the kingdom news. And don't worry about what you're going to say or how you say it. The right words will be there. The Spirit of your Father will supply those words. When people realize it is the living God you are presenting and not some idol that makes them feel good, they are going to turn on you, even people in your own family. There is a great irony here, proclaiming so much love, but experiencing so much hate. But don't quit. Don't cave in. It is all well worth it in the end. Don't be intimidated. Eventually, everything is going to be out in the open, and everyone will know how things really are. So don't hesitate to go public now. Don't be bluffed into silence by the threat of bullies. There's nothing they can do to your soul, your core being. Save your fear for God, who holds your entire life, body, and soul in His hands. Stand up for me against world opinion, and I'll stand up for you before my Father in heaven. Don't think I've come to make life cozy. I've come to cut, make a sharp knife cut between son and father, daughter and mother, bride and mother-in-law. Cut through those cozy domestic arrangements and free you up for God. Well-meaning family members can be your worst enemies. If you prefer father or mother over me, you don't deserve me. If you prefer son or daughter over me, you don't deserve me. If you don't go all the way with me through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you'll forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. We are intimately linked in this harvest work. Anyone who accepts what you do accepts me, the one who sent you. Anyone who accepts what I do accepts my Father who sent me. Accepting a messenger of God is as good as being God's messenger. Accepting someone's help is as good as giving someone help. This is a large work I've called you into, but don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. My. Difficult teaching of Jesus. You know, he starts out by saying this. I'm going to send you out like sheep among wolves. Now, this is not the image of a shepherd. Back in John, the one that we really like. I'm the good shepherd. I call to you, come, follow me. And then I lead you. And from that, we can rightly say that every place we go on a God assignment, Yeshua has already been there. He's the good shepherd. He knows where the green pastures are. But now we have him talking to his leaders, and knowing that he's gone ahead of them, he's going to send them out now while he stays here. Basic training is over. We can't gather in our cozy holy huddle, greet each other with a hug, enjoy a meal after church, and sit around and share. But now I'm going to send you out into that world. And I want you to know what it's like. It's like sending a sheep out into the midst of wolves. I did some research on sheep and wolves. I'm not going to get into it. Wolves are pretty vicious, and what they do to sheep. In fact, there was one article I came across of two wolves out in Wyoming killed 289 sheep in one night. Absolutely amazing. Wolves are vicious. and sheep are skittish. Sheep like to stay together, and especially what they want to do is gather around the shepherd. Who can get closest to the shepherd? It's going to be safe if I can get close to the shepherd. If I can stay close to the shepherd, he'll beat the wolf in the head with his staff. It's good to have a shepherd. Can you say amen? It's good to have a shepherd. It's good for those times when you need the shepherd's rod to beat the wolf over the head. It's good when you need his crook to get you out of the mess you've fallen into. It's good to have a shepherd. Amen? But Yeshua says there are times when the shepherd has to send the sheep out. I'm sending you out, and you've got to know that you're like sheep among the wolves. What on earth does that mean? Are you sending us out so we'll be torn apart in pieces? You know, is that what it's about? Is that martyrdom for a Christian? No, what he says is this: be on your guard against men, because all men will hate you because of me. They'll hate you when you start speaking truth. As long as you say nothing, they won't be upset with you. But the minute you decree and declare a thing, and it can be simple things. The minute you say to a doctor in a hospital, "My God will take care of me," they bristle. The nurses bristle. Who are you? Who do you think you are? I'm the doctor. And you say, I know what you're saying. I know what your tests show. But what I'm saying is that my God will take care of it. We've run into that more than one time when we speak the truth to a doctor because it needs to be decreed and declared. We don't run into a corner and hide it. Your daughter's going to die is spoken. Well, that needs to be corrected verbally. You can't pray that away. Words have been put into the atmosphere around someone. You can't run off in a prayer closet and hide and say, well, Father, heal her. I believe in healing. You need to be bold and decree and declare what you believe. And when you do that, you have confronted darkness, and darkness doesn't like that. Don't ever take it personal. And don't ever take the man or the woman who's angry with you that they've got a problem. They've got a spiritual issue. They're simply a mouthpiece. That's all they are. You know, I never get mad at a doctor because it's not the doctor in me. It's the devil in him and Yeshua in me. That's the source of the conflict. But you can't be quiet. If you are quiet, you will be torn apart like a sheep in the midst of wolves. A great movie on the TV this week. What was that lady's name, Nicole? Irina Sandler, who personally worked to rescue 2,500 Jewish children, some of them babies, out of the Warsaw Ghetto. The Warsaw Ghetto was the most horrifying thing you could ever imagine in your life. 600,000 Jews crammed into this little section of the street, living 10 families in a room, not a house, a room. People dying by the hundreds every day, and she found ways to smuggle children out, 2,500 of them. Her story was rediscovered by four teenagers at a high school in Kansas, and then they researched it, wrote about it, and it became a movie. It's really great. But she had to realize that she was in the midst of wolves. The people there were out to destroy. Again, don't look at it as the person, certainly don't ever look at it as the nationality, but it was the demon spirit that was behind that. And you couldn't negotiate with it. You can't shake hands with it. You can't say, isn't there something we can do? Can I buy my way out of this? No, they are going to kill you if you do not do something about it. A sheep among wolves is a pattern that you look at and say, my Lord, how am I going to not be devoured in it, then we better find out how does Yeshua teach us to do that. Beware of men. He says persecution will come, and he identifies four areas where persecution is going to come. Persecution has one purpose. That is to silence your mouth and to get you to compromise your beliefs. The devil is scared silly. You and I are going to speak truth. Well, you know, I mean, these people don't want to hear it, so I said nothing. Well, you know, when I'm around my parents, I can't talk about that. Then what are you doing around them if you can't talk about it? Why are you letting people intimidate you? See, persecution comes to stifle the church. Pastor Burke was sharing about going to the underground church in China. And he told me that, you know, I mean, the flight to get to China was long enough. When he's there, he has a 16-hour train ride and then a 6-hour van ride on top of that to arrive at a little town where the gospel is virtually not known, and he gets to sleep on a piece of plywood with a sheet over it. And he talks about getting up at 3 in the morning. And to get in a van, they're going to take him to where the underground church is meeting, okay? And the driver tells them they have to duck down so that the police don't see that a van load of people's going down the street at 3 in the morning, because it's forbidden for Christians to meet. We say, well, Christians can meet. Isn't there a state church? Yes, there is. There's a state Protestant church and a state Catholic church in China. So when China says, well, Christians can worship here, and that's what the news says. Oh, well, the state says Christians can worship there. The Protestant church is told what it may and may not preach. And it may not preach the resurrection, and it may not preach the second coming. Think about it. You can preach all the other doctrines you want, but you may not preach the resurrection of Jesus, and you may not preach the second coming. Why? Because both of those represent a power bigger than the government. You don't think in this country there's going to be a time as we move toward the tribulation where there are rules about what can be preached and declared in pulpits? And as he talked to the pastors there, every one of them said that as they pastor churches, they know they will spend time in jail. They just don't know when or for how long. But eventually they're going to be found out. One group that were just Christians gathering together, they weren't gathering to worship, they weren't gathering to study the Bible. There was 5 families decide to get together, have a meal together, and because they gathered without permission, they were all put in jail for 15 days. You prepared for what would happen if all of a sudden somebody walks in, arrests us, and takes us, and the judge says, well, you know, you weren't supposed to be meeting on Sabbath, that's not right, and so you're all going to go spend 10 days in jail. We come out of 10 days of jail, how many of us are going to come next week? Hello? Understand what I'm saying? So persecution comes. Now, watch this. The first set of persecution comes from religious people within the church. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Yeshua says this, watch out for false prophets. Listen, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. Persecution will come from within the church. Notice what he said. He did not say that they will come to you in shepherd's clothing. I'm not saying there's not false shepherds. There certainly are. But the church has been so focused. The devil has got people, well, is that a false prophet pastor? Is that a... that we forgot that what Yeshua said, they're going to come in the clothing of the person sitting in the pew. They come in sheep's clothing. More Christians have been drawn off course, lost what they believed in, got shot, they get their great faith, and then the next week it's not there. Why? Because they talk to another Christian. Not because they talk to another pastor. Come on, they called up a Christian. I'm excited. I saw in the Word that God wants to heal me. And they call a Christian friend who says, but wait, we don't believe that healing. You don't believe that healing stuff, do you? And they plant doubt in you. And next thing you know, you thought you believed in healing, but now you don't because you talked with what? Another so-called Christian. Wolves in sheep's clothing will keep you from your success. Absolutely amazing. God wants me to prosper. God said that He'll meet all my needs. God says He has plans to prosper me. Jeremiah 29:11, and I share it with a friend. You're not part of that cult prosperity group, are you? And it plants doubt in you. And next thing you know, I mean, we've had that happen. We've had people come to this church 4 or 5 weeks, and suddenly they're here no longer. And I found out, they told someone, well, I mentioned something about prosperity, and oh, you don't want to be around that. They were excited while they were here. They thought this was the best thing, but something took it away. What? Another so-called Christian. That's wolves in sheep's clothing. Wolves in sheep's clothing are far more dangerous to you than wolf in a shepherd's clothing. Amen. Persecution from people within the church. Now, here's what he says. By their fruit, you will know them. You must become a fruit inspector. Well, I thought we weren't supposed to judge one another. I'm not judging. I'm looking at fruit. I'm looking at fruit. Amen? Somebody's down and discouraged all the time. I don't want their life. I don't let them speak into my life. Had a discussion about healing with a man one time, was arguing with him after a Bible study I was doing years ago. There was several hundred people there. He came up, I don't believe in this healing stuff. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you think you're going to be sick this year? He says, well, everybody gets sick. I says, well, not everybody does, but I don't intend to be. So I'm going to end the discussion right here because you don't want to hear what I have to say. And I certainly don't want to hear what you have to say because you might get me to be thinking that I need to be sick. I don't want to be around people who think I need to be sick. And I walked away from him. And he said, what? What kind of a pastor is that? He's walking away from me. And my head usher just said, it's a good thing he didn't hit you. You know? Because, wait a minute, I understand that. That from within the church, there's persecution. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just become a fruit inspector. Come on, be a fruit inspector. It's amazing how people, I know what God wants. I'm going to go talk to somebody. And they talk to Susie Worrywart. Oh, everything's heavy for Susie. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. What are you doing talking to somebody under a black cloud to get spiritual advice? Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Second place persecution comes from is religious spirits in the community. Ephesians 2:2, you can look it up. We're not going to get into these verses right now because I need to get somewhere. Ephesians 2:2, it talks about the prince of the power of the air. There are spiritual forces in the community. You get opposition from within the church, but you get opposition from within the community. There's a spiritual force behind them. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with principalities and powers, but principalities and powers use flesh and blood to speak and to act. Can be your boss. Can be your landlord. Could be the policeman. Could be someone else. But you see, we have to understand persecution will come because there are religious spirits in the community. The homosexual agenda people have a tremendous spirit behind them. It's been here forever. I mean forever. Go back in the Bible and you'll find it. And God's condemnation of it hasn't changed. It is not politically correct. Never will be correct. But man, they've infiltrated the churches. They've infiltrated. And I've had conversations with HR, human resource people, and a major corporation in America who are scared silly that they're going to say or do the wrong thing and get sued. Because of race, because of sexual preferences, but we really can't say that. Watch me, I'm going to say it. God says homosexuality is wrong. Now that doesn't mean I'm going to treat the homosexual person as if he's not a person for whom Jesus died, one that God loves immensely, but the disease is wrong. Amen? But it's not becoming the people are accepting it, it's becoming to the point where people are afraid to talk about it. The runner-up to Miss America made a statement that she believes marriage is for a man and a woman. She realizes that in this country people have different opinions, but this is what she believes. And the homosexual leadership of that Miss America contest were all bent out of shape that she said that. When did we lose free speech? How come she just said, I understand other people believe differently. This is what I believe. And people were offended, and one of them said, 98% of Americans accept homosexuality. They believe that within the homosexual community. Why? Because they've intimidated everyone else. And it's about time we just stand up. And if you get intimidated about that, sign it away, folks. Amen? There will be persecution. Okay? There are wolves out there, but we're going to find out how to be a sheep walking in the middle of wolves. That's the kind of sheep I want to be. Religious people bring persecution. Religious spirits bring persecution. The third one, he says, is governments. He said, you will be brought before civil magistrates. Well, is that ever going to happen? Glad you asked. Now that I find out we can edit films, I don't need to worry about continuing going. I got this from Olive Tree Ministries. from Jan, and she says, I'm quoting an article by Nathan Jones, writing about a troubling issue this week. So what he said is, are you a student of Bible prophecy who's discovered that the Bible teaches the planet will soon be under the control of a one-world government of the Antichrist before Jesus comes? How many of you believe that? Do you believe the Bible teaches murdering our children is wrong? Do you believe the Bible teaches homosexuality destroys lives and that we should speak out against it? Do you feel the increasing immorality is fueling increasing crime and wish to defend your children? Do you think people have a right to have a firearm to defend their lives should it come to that? I don't own a gun, by the way. Do you love America and want to see it obey its own constitution, which limits federal power? Are you a military veteran who has bled for the freedom of your country? Okay. If you can answer yes to just one of these, you're now considered by America's own Department of Homeland Security to be a potential domestic right-wing terrorist. Oh, come on. I mean, is this extreme and everything? Well, he quotes the document, so I went online and got the document. It's called Right-Wing Extremism, Current Economic and Political Climate, Fueling Resurgence in Radicalization and Recruitment, put out by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. And it says, unclassified, but for official use only. Praise God, he says, secret things will be exposed. This was not meant to be getting out. It was not meant to be public. It was put out on April 7th. This is, you can't get any more current than this. Okay, and if you want to read it, I'll leave it on the thing. They found out this, that. By the way, they have no evidence that anybody's threatening to blow up the government yet, other than lone people, but there's no conspiracy going. Economic hardship is going to increase it. People are going to do all these different things. Here's a good line. Anti-government conspiracy theories and end times prophecies will motivate extremist individuals and groups to stockpile food, ammunition, and weapons. Back it up. If you're stockpiling food, ammunition, weapons, we don't want you to do that. So we need to take away your ability to stockpile weapons. I am not a National Rifle Association member. I don't even own a gun. But I believe our constitutional framers said that we have a right to bear arms. Period. End of story. The only one that doesn't want us to bear arms are the two elements of the criminal element, because then they'll have guns. If you outlaw guns, the only one who have guns are outlaws. Come on, they'll always be there. Or people who want to control our independence. The Antichrist rule, it's very clear, will outlaw weapons. Why? Because war's going to break out. Okay? So there's a categorization of people. Down in Virginia, a similar bulletin that had come out last year, but not quite as extreme, listed groups that should be considered potential terrorist organizations. Any anti-abortion group is potentially a terrorist organization. And so the leader in Virginia of the Christian Coalition Against Abortion found out his group is on the state police list of groups to watch. Now, I say that in the context that while I believe that what we speak in the airwaves will cause people to say, yes, go for it, we're with you, but guess what? Some of the stuff that I'm going to be saying in the next year is going to get out, and we very well may be a church that's on somebody's watch list of groups and organizations you better look for in Massachusetts, and one is that Faith Christian Church that, well, we don't know if they're Jewish or Christian because nobody else knows, and they believe that Jesus is coming, and that pastor speaks regularly about the overreaching steps of government taking away freedoms, and come on, it's all here. Persecution will come from the government. Get your head out of the sand, okay? So persecution from the church, persecution from religious spirits, persecution from governments, and then finally, persecution from family. Matthew 10, verse 21, he goes down there and he says, brother will betray brother, father will betray son, so on and so forth. Listen to this, verse 37, you heard me read it. Anyone who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What's he talking about? Persecution's going to be coming in the family, and you're going to have to make a stand. If you don't, you will be a sheep among the wolves, and they will eat you. We're not talking about your eternal destiny. We're not talking about, are you going to go to heaven or not? What we're talking about is, how do you live successfully in the kingdom of God right here and now, and you live it as a sheep in the midst of wolves, but you're an educated sheep who knows how to fight. who knows how to stand up. It's that willingness to lose your life, you'll find it. But if you're afraid you're going to lose your life, people won't like me, who will I have? Then you will lose your life. If you try to hold on to your reputation, you'll end up with none. But if you're willing to lose your reputation, God will make sure you have one. Amen? So the thing I want you to see in this is the call is that we must position ourselves. Get in position. And here's what Yeshua says. Number one, beware of men. Just open your eyes. Don't be gullible. Beware of men. Be aware of what you're hearing. Come on. Read things out in the Spirit. Don't get caught up in strife because everyone else is. Read it out of the Spirit. You know, I'm just not going to get stirred up in that kind of stuff. I'm not going to get into strife. I'm not going to get into fear. If you're around men who exude fear, be aware of what's going on and remove yourself from it. Secondly, he says, do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid. And thirdly, he says this, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father. And then this very interesting phrase, he says, you need to be as shrewd as snakes. One verse is, you need to be as cunning as a snake, but as gentle as a dove. The gentleness comes in your interaction with human beings. Your shrewdness comes and being aware you're dealing with the Spirit behind it. Amen? Now let me give you some points about wolves, sheep, and sheepdogs. You know, there's another group that Yeshua doesn't mention in this passage. And I want you to consider it. He doesn't talk about the sheepdogs. Now listen, wolves. We got all the players in the scenario now. We got wolves and we got sheep. But there's a category called sheepdogs. Glory to God. The wolves are ravenous and will destroy. Wolves can be within the camp and wolves can be without the camp. In our neighborhood, we have bears and our friendly bear showed up last night for about the fifth time and once again took down our thing. It's so funny. This man, he's got to be 300 pounds. I got to get a picture of him. Oh, he is mammoth. And he's sitting there on his haunches with a bird feeder licking the seeds out of it. You know, this mammoth thing and he's eating the seeds out of it. You know, It's really a riot. There can be bears in and without the camp. There can be wolves inside the camp. There can be wolves outside of the camp. That's where we know. Sheep, as I said, are by nature docile. They're skittish. Sheep follow the voice of the shepherd. Sheep need to know how to hear, however, from the sheepdogs. The sheepdogs are geared to protect the flock. Sheepdogs do two things. The shepherd says, come, follow me to green pasture. And he heads out. And the sheep do what? They hear the voice of the shepherd and they know it. And they pitter-patter after him. But what happens? Sheep can be easily distracted. Oh, we're following the shepherd. We're following. Ooh, what's that over there? Oh, look down this little ravine down here. You know? The shepherd says, come, follow me. And I'm leading you into the word of faith that will keep you strong. Oh, that's great. I love the word. I love the word. What's this little group over here? Well, they don't quite believe the word, but you know they sing nice. I want to see what they're about. What are you doing with that other group of Christians when God said, I'm going to send you a shepherd to lead you to green pastures, and now you're in a barren place trying to get food? Huh? Come on. See, if we understood the attitude, that is the body of Christ, is what go, oh, well, you know, I want to go to this concert over here because it's really cool, but it's filled with unbelief. And then you try to get back in the flock and say, I can't understand why I have no victory in my life. It's because who you're hanging around with. And the shepherd keeps saying that, but the sheep say, oh, we hear your voice, we follow you, and let's go talk with these people again. All right? So what do you need to keep that from happening so that the shepherd doesn't get out here, okay, flock, here we are, here's the green pasture, started out with 100, and now I got 15 left, where'd they all go? Well, did Yeshua have that experience? The crowds follow him, and he's leading us to green pasture, and then one day he said, I need to tell you, that if you don't eat my body and drink of my blood, you can't even be part of me. Now let's go to the Green Land. Dun, dun, dun. And everybody left him except the 12. That's a massive reduction. That's a massive downsizing of his church. He had 70, listen, come on, he had 70 leaders who quit him. And there was a crowd that most theologians identify of 500 who were consistently there. The way I look at it is Yeshua had a congregation of 500 people, out of which he had 70 leaders, and beyond that he had 12 core disciples. Beyond the 500, whenever he'd do a campaign, he might have thousands listening to him. That day the thousands no longer came, the 500 no longer came, and the 70 leaders quit him because of one thing he said. See, that's sheep. Oh, I didn't like that. I got offended. I'm going to go find me another flock. Oh, I just fell off a cliff. Oh, no. Okay, so what's a shepherd have to keep that from not happening? He has sheepdogs. So one of the jobs of the sheepdog is to nip at the heels of the sheep to get them back on track. All right, just, you know, and oh. Now, why do the sheep respond to that? Watch this. Because to a sheep dog can look like a wolf. Come on. There's a wolf. Fangs, you know. There's a sheep dog. Ooh, my goodness, that sheep dog, it's got fangs like the wolf has. They don't understand that the sheepdog is trained to protect, the wolf is reared to destroy. And when they look at the, they can't tell what is someone coming to devour me and someone coming to correct me. Come on. They can't tell the difference. So the first job of the sheepdog is that you, he is there to keep the sheep within the flock. But secondly, he is geared, his whole training is to protect the flock from the wolf. Sheepdogs are nice, they got well training, but let a wolf get in the midst of the flock and that sheepdog will turn vicious. Why? They'll do whatever they can to protect the flock. They don't attack the flock. They attack the wolf. Now, listen to this. This is a retired Army lieutenant colonel. And in my musings and in researching on this, I found out that this lieutenant colonel, he must be a Christian, I don't know if he is or not, but he wrote an article called On Sheep, Wolves, and Sheepdogs. He's like, hey, that's my sermon. Listen to what he said. Understand that there is nothing more, and he tells that in life, people are going to be sheep, they're going to be wolves, and there's going to be sheepdogs in life. There are wolves. Anybody met any wolves? Okay? Anybody met any sheep? Anybody met any sheepdogs? Okay? I think we generally know that people fall into those categories. Understand that there's nothing morally superior about being a sheepdog. It is just what you choose to be. Also understand that a sheepdog is a funny critter. He is always sniffing around out on the perimeter, checking the breeze, barking at things that go bump in the night, and yearning for a righteous battle. That is, the young sheepdogs yearn for a righteous battle. The old sheepdogs are a little older and wiser, but they move to the sound of the guns when needed, right along with the young ones. They no longer, the older ones don't bark at things that go bump in the night, but when the wolf shows up, they're there. Here is how the sheep and the sheepdogs think differently. The sheep pretend the wolf will never come. But the sheepdog lives for that day. Did you get that? The sheep pretend the wolf will never come. But a sheepdog lives for that day. Make my day. I defy you, Satan, in the name of Yeshua. Show up. After the attacks on September 11th, most of the sheep That is, most citizens in America said, thank God I wasn't on one of those planes. The sheepdogs, the warriors, said, dear God, I wish I'd been on one of those planes. Maybe I could have made a difference. When you are truly transformed into a warrior and have truly invested yourself into warriorhood, you want to be where the battle is because you want to be able to make a difference. There's nothing morally superior about the sheepdog, the warrior, but he does have one real advantage and only one. And that is that he is able to survive and thrive in an environment that destroys 98% of the population. Does that sound familiar? Though 1,000 fall at my left hand and 10,000 at my right hand, it doesn't come near me? This guy's talking about that. The sheepdog has one advantage. When all hell breaks loose, he's in the 2% that are still standing. My. There was research conducted a few years ago with individuals convicted of violent crimes. These convicts were in prison for serious, predatory crimes of violence, assaults, murders, and killing of law enforcement officers. The vast majority said that they specifically targeted victims by body language. Come on, church. This is how the devil does. He watches your body language. The vast majority said they specifically targeted victims by body language, slumped walk, passive behavior, and lack of awareness. They chose their victims like big cats do in Africa. When they select one out of the herd that is least able to protect itself. Come on. Well, things aren't going well. How dare you ever utter that? Do you know what you've just said to the devil? Come on, devil, shoot away. My defenses are down. I don't care what you're struggling like on the inside. Don't let your face show it. Isn't that what Yeshua said? Even when you're fasting, nobody should know. Wash your face. Look, man, you walk like you just had the best. Well, you know, I'm fasting. I'm just fasting. You know, it's like, all that is doing is saying, here, devil, take a shoot at me. I think the devil ought to be confused by how you live, by how you walk, by how you talk. Walk with purpose like you're going somewhere. Man, your body might feel like, oh, man, it's been a long day. My high heels, you know, are too tight on me and everything else, you know. But, man, I'm going to walk into a conference room like I belong there. I'm not going to let the devil see anything that would indicate that there's stress in my physical body as much as I can. Amen? Now watch this. Some people may be destined to be sheep, and others might be genetically primed to be wolves or sheepdogs. But, this is going to sound just like Donald Long, but I believe that most people can choose which one they want to be. And I'm proud to say that more and more Americans are choosing to become sheepdogs. This is what this lieutenant colonel says. Here is a point I like to emphasize, especially to the thousands of police officers and soldiers I speak to each year. In nature, the sheep, real sheep, are born as sheep. Sheepdogs are born that way, and so are wolves. They don't have a choice. But you are not a critter. As a human being, you can be whatever you want to be. It's a conscious, moral decision. That's what the gospel is. I put in front of you a way of life and a way of death. You choose. I put in front of you a way of happiness and a way of depression. You choose. I put in front of you a way of health and a way of sickness. You choose. I put a way in front of you by which you're always on the top, never underneath, and a way by which you're always down. You choose. And so Paul gets in circumstances where he's in jail and all hope is lost. And what does he do? He sings praises to God and the doors open up. Well, doors don't open up to me with an attitude like that. I know why they don't. You're making a choice. Whenever you pick up the phone and you share the garbage of your life and the trials of your life just to get sympathy, you've made a choice to be a sheep and not a sheepdog. Amen? Whatever you do, okay, Holy Spirit, whatever you do in this congregation, don't make a choice to be a wolf. Because you have a pastor who understands that. And I don't care if there's a lot of people who might say, well, pastor, I thought that was a sheepdog or a sheep. This pastor's trained to find wolves. Because I know they'll destroy you. And I'm not in a popularity contest. If you want to be a sheep, then you can be a sheep. And that is okay. Listen, this is what I've been trying to get through to people. If you want to be a sheep, then you can be a sheep and that's okay. But you must understand the price you're going to pay. People all the time, you know, in my whole ministry, once I realized this, I realized that as I move through life, I'm calling for people to come on a journey, and some will and some won't. That doesn't mean I don't like the people who won't. You're going to live down here? That's fine. I'll love you. By the way, now, but I have very little I can tell you. Because all I'm going to tell you is how to live up here. I will love you and accept you down here. Amen. If you choose that's where you want to live, that's okay. Glory to God. Amen. But I'm called to pull people up to a higher level. If you want to be a sheep, then you can be a sheep. That's okay. But you must understand the price you pay. When the wolf comes, you and your loved ones are going to die if there's not a sheepdog to protect you. Pastor, that's negative. No, that's truth. If you want to be a wolf, you can be one. But the sheepdogs are going to hunt you down and you'll never have rest, safety, trust, or love ever. But if you want to be a sheepdog and walk the warrior's path, then you must make a conscious and moral decision every day to dedicate, equip, and prepare yourself to thrive in that toxic, corrosive moment when the wolf comes knocking at the door. Ah, is that good or is that good? Oh, man. Wow. You must make a conscious and moral decision every day to dedicate, equip, and prepare yourself to be able to thrive in that toxic moment when the wolf knocks at the door. The wolf will knock at the door. Amen? That's not the time then to try to say, well, I'm a sheep. Can I learn to be a sheepdog? No, learning time is over. You now need a sheepdog. Amen? Glory to God. I mean, you might get in a situation and it's over your head. You better know where your sheepdogs are. Amen? Somebody asked me, Pastor, you know, an emergency came up in my life and blah, 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 and this and this, and I'm in the hospital and blah, blah, blah. And I said, who did you call? See, they called nobody. You're trying to fight that battle alone. Amen? And if I'm in that situation, I know who, I've always known who I can call. You know? Amen? I tell people, listen, you need Donna Long's phone number there somewhere, right alongside all your other numbers. You know, in case of emergency, call Donna Long, then call my husband. Come on. What do you want? I mean, hello. I can heal it with my husband if he thinks I made him second. But if I don't live, there's no healing going to take place. Where's the sheepdog? Amen. Now watch this. What you need to do, 4 points, and with this we're going to close. You getting something out of this? What you need to do, I always like to know there's things to do. He says it right here. Be wise to what is going on. Don't hide your head in the sand. You need to know your Bible. You need to know what's going on in your nation. You need to know what's going on in the world. And you need to know the times and seasons in which we live. You need to know that. Don't get fooled and say, well, you know, we'll just get over the recession and everything's going to be fine and we're moving toward. That is not biblical. And that is not the truth of what's going on in the nation. And you don't know the signs of the season. We're in the end times, folks. Whatever your end times theology is, we're in there. Whether you're raptured or not raptured, whatever your theology is, we're in that time where these things are going to happen. Number one is know what's going on. Number two, know your enemy in how he operates. Do not let yourself be surprised. 1 Peter 2:8. You got to look this up. 5:8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Couple more verses. If you're going to survive and thrive, you need to know what's going on, and you need to know how your enemy operates. You know, the militaries of the world have had strategies for fighting battles for years, and disaster comes when they can't change your strategy. So one of the challenges in the Revolutionary War was the British way of fighting. All right, let's everybody line up. Here we go, just like the fields of Europe. All right, forward, and we all march. Towards what? Towards our pilgrim fathers who were hiding behind trees shooting them. Now, the British had overwhelming numbers, and it was very difficult to deal with the overwhelming numbers. But they couldn't suppress the rebellion because the rebels refused to fight that way. Amen? Terrorists have changed the whole battlefield. It's not over there anymore. Amen? We need to know the enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Say this after me. I'm someone he can't devour. Say that to somebody else. I'm someone he can't devour. He's looking for you. He's looking for you. But he can't devour me. I mean, you want to get to the point where he's roaming around and he's sneaking up on you and suddenly gets a sight of you and says, oh no, I tried to bite that one last time and lost these three front teeth. I'm not biting that one again. Your enemy prowls around, sneaks up. And what does he say? Be alert. Be alert. You know, Dennis was in Vietnam. I'll tell you one thing, if you were in Vietnam, if you're out in those jungles, you're alert. You might be talking, but you're not talking very loudly, and you're listening. You're listening to every little sound. You're walking through a field, and you're listening for rustling bushes. All of a sudden, you put your foot down, click. You just stepped on a mine. If you pay attention, you freeze right there. It's not going to go off until you take your foot off. And there have been men who've been miraculously rescued by courageous men who knew how to get that soldier off that. If you panic, go, oh no! The minute you move, you're dead. If you weren't paying attention, click, what was that? By the time the what is out of your mouth, you're gone. You've got to be alert. I'll tell you, you know, in all my life in counseling, I want to say it all, there may be a few exceptions. Every single issue people trip up on, after it's over, they knew that the Holy Spirit told them, don't do that, don't go there, don't say that. Holy Spirit's been trying to get you to deal with that. Why? Trying to train you up. But we just get in our casual life, click, bam, you know, click, there goes another one, bam, click, was that a rifle? Was somebody, you know, Russell, was that the devil prowling around? Phone rings. I'm on alert. Amen. I'm on alert. It might be someone, hi, Pastor, this is Jonathan. Oh, hi, Jonathan, how are you? Great, great, great. You know, it might be another person not in this congregation. Hi, this is so-and-so. Bam, my shield is up. I'm not going to just get into a conversation and then find out, you got a relative who's always negative, and every time you walk in their house, you think today is going to be different. And you get slammed and put down, and you're struggling with depression. Well, I talked to my mom again, you know. Get your defense up so that when you talk, you're talking through the shield. I can talk to negative people, and it doesn't bother me, because when they come, I know what they're going to say. I know they don't like me. I know I'm not going to win an argument, so I don't try. I know that they can have 5 minutes with them, and then it's going to be oppressive. So I go in and spend 5 minutes as if I'm going to be there all day. How are you? Good to see you. Blah, blah, blah. But see, in my mind, it's like your clock started running the minute I saw you, and 5 minutes after that, well, you know, I really need to go now, and out I go. I set my clock at 5, but that doesn't mean I say, can't stay long. No, I'm going to be generous and every, but I've already made my mind up. Why? Because the devil's prowling around. Amen? Glory to God. So, know your enemy and how he operates. The Message Bible says there, the devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. My. Thirdly, resist the devil. It's the next verse. Verse 9. 1 Peter 5:9. Resist him standing firm in the faith. Resist him standing firm in the faith. I like the Amplified Bible. Be firm in faith, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. Amen? Devil comes. It's like, weebles wobble, but we don't fall down. Amen? We used to play that game as kids, you know? Come here, Justin. You know how that one went. We would just stand up, and Justin would take his place, and I'd take mine. And we'd take our hand. Now, the goal is to make someone move that foot. You know, and so he pushes me and I push him and, you know, I'm trying to get him off balance and we're in this kind of a struggle, you know, and we're trying to, and I try to pull him and then I try to push him and when I push him, he makes me fall and, oh, he moved his foot. But see, practice standing. I will not compromise this ever again. And Donna's right. Start with small things. Draw a line. It's one of the songs we sang a couple of weeks. Draw a line and step over it and say, I'm going to stand on God's side of this line. I'm going to grab one thing, and I'm not going to let go of that. I'm rooted. I'm grounded. The devil may appear to be winning battles, but he's not going to win this one. I will not give him that. I will not give my mouth to that ever again. And then you move on to the next thing once you got that conquered. Resist him. Stand firm in what you know. You know enough, church. Come on, you know the word. But you've got to make a determined effort. And all he's doing is walking around roaming. Oh, they're praying. I'm not going to touch them. Oh, they're reading their Bible. I'm not going to touch them either. Oh, that husband and wife are fighting. I think I'll just camp out here for a while. Oh, you know, he listens to your phone conversations. He watches your emails. Huh? Oh, I heard that conversation. Hey, come on, a group of us. I think they're primed for destruction. Huh? He participates in conversations. Huh? But whenever he shows up at your house, he hears a word of faith being spoken. He hears the Bible being read. You know, I know the devil hates the long household in the morning. Early in the morning, most times, I think, even before I'm up. You know, Donna and Jordan are in the room. They spend 2 hours just sharing the word, Mom, look what I saw. Look what this says. They're in there. Sometimes it sounds like there's a crowd of people in there. Oh, and look at this and look at that. I mean, it's like the devil, he's not around. He goes by that window and says, oh, no, they're at it again. They're building each other's faith up again. You know, I don't want to be around that. Resist the devil, okay? Number one, be wise to what's going on. Number two, know your enemy and how he operates. Number three, resist him. And number four, know that you are an overcomer. That's who you are. 1 John 5:4, last verse for today. 1 John 5:4. My. Everyone, say everyone. Everyone born of God. Anybody born of God here? Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. I'm an overcomer with one weapon that God's given me. Faith. I choose to be a believer. And in the choice of being a believer, I've chosen to be a sheepdog. Amen. What are you? Hopefully you're not a wolf. But why just be a sheep? This is not meant to be a sheep congregation. Huh? It's too small to be a sheep congregation. That's right. Come on. It is, you know, you got 1,000 people, you can have a lot of sheep. That's a big flock. Man, we've got to learn to be sheepdogs. Ready to destroy the enemy wherever he shows up. Ready to speak truth. Ready to live by our very being, exuding the life of God. Exuding it. That's good. Exuding it. Exuding life. A smile on your face. A conquering attitude. Amen? So that when I get around other sheep, they feel comfortable. They feel protected. They might feel a little bit nervous because your fangs show once in a while. And the sureness with which you speak truth can be frightening to people. Well, this is what the Bible says. And they're just not comfortable with people who are so sure until they have a need. My last illustration. I grew up in the military, so my pastors when I grew up were chaplains. And there were two kinds of chaplains. It was a chaplain who just wanted to be a friend with all the troops. I mean, he was down there. He'd come in, "Hi, chaplain." The guys are meeting together. "Hi, chaplain, how are you?" They might be telling jokes. "Hey, chaplain, have you heard this joke?" And whether it's off color or not, they're going to tell him anyway. And he might have some of his own. And he's just really a buddy-buddy with the troops, and everybody likes that chaplain. Then there was a chaplain when he walked in, very friendly. "Hi, guys, how are you doing?" Was it the way he stood, the way he lived, the way he spoke? I don't know what it was, but everybody came to attention. Not this way, but inside. Man, if you were telling an off-color joke, you'd just shut up. You know, guys, don't let me bother you. "Oh, you're not a bother, chaplain." "Yes, he is." You know, nobody wants to continue talking that way. When he leaves, everybody's like, okay, and then they can go back because now the chaplain's left. But when a GI was in trouble, which chaplain did he need? And I saw it time after time after time growing up that the chaplains in my life that were men of integrity, men of the word, that's where the GIs went when their marriage was in trouble, their life was in trouble, they were having to struggle with issues in their life. And the other buddy-buddy chaplain was not the one they went to. If they wanted to party, they went to him. But boy, if they needed help, they went to the man of God. You need to be men and women of God. Because there's a world out there that's going to need you. They don't need sympathy. When all hell breaks loose, they don't need someone come, there. "You know, I'll pray for you." No. They need someone who come in and speak and decree and declare. Who will say what the word says. Who tells them what they need to do. Who's not shy about saying, "You need to do this. And you need to get this out of your life. And you need to address these issues. Because if you don't, you're going to die." "Well, I don't want to be offensive to them." You will be. But there will be sheep who hear. There will be those you will save from the mouth of the lion. Isn't that what David said? "I've gone to the lion, grabbed him by his beard, and jerked the lamb out of his mouth that he was about to eat." That's what we got to be. Amen. I'm not looking when I'm around other Christians. "Oh, you know, Pastor Long is such a nice pastor." Uh-oh. No, I'm looking to be one who speaks the truth. One who lives the truth. One who's always got a word that if they're ready to hear, will build them up. You've got that word in you. That's why you're in this congregation. You're in this congregation to be a sheepdog. You're in this congregation to be a sheepdog. Make a decision and live it out. Amen? Did you get anything out of this today? Father, we thank you and praise you for your word to us. We thank you that in due season, which is this season, we have been prepared and called for such a day like this. My. Help us to understand as overcomers, we've got a job to do. You've given us an assignment in this area, in the realm of the spirit and in the realm of the natural. And Abba, we will not back away from it, but we will do that which we're called to do. To your honor and to your glory, in Yeshua's name. And God's people said. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he fill you with every good thing, equipping you to do his will and his work now and forever until he returns. In the name of Yeshua. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Turn around to somebody and say, "I'm glad I was here."